and the prayer for the first Sunday in Lent. Heavenly Father, your Son battled with powers of darkness and grew closer to you in the desert. Help us to use these days to grow in wisdom and prayer, that we may witness to your saving love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Mike is going to come and read our gospel reading for us, and then he's going to preach from that passage. So shall we stand together for the gospel reading?
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, I just pray that you would inspire my words and that you would open our ears to hear what you have to say to us from your word this morning. Amen. Please take a seat. Just in case you're wondering, I don't need to see a doctor to get this carbuncle removed. It's my Britney Spears mic this morning, which we're experimenting because I know I have a tendency to move away from the microphone. So we've turned the lectern mic off, which means I can turn and look at the choir and talk to you, and you can still hear me. So hopefully that's helpful. I'm going to start this morning by reading to you a story. This is a story that it's a story from my life, but I've written it down. One of the reasons I've done that is because I know that if I say it off the cuff, I'm likely to kind of drift away from the point and spend five times as long on it than if I've written it down. So I've written it in as brief a way as I can manage. The reason I'm telling you this story is because I think it has a connection to our gospel passage this morning. And it's about how I came and Isaac and Katie came to be here at St. John's. So it says, "My arrival here at St. John's for numerous reasons seems to me to be undeniably God's call on my and my family's life. It's not just one of several curacies I could have taken, but the place God has put me. Finding a curacy is a tricky thing, and sensing a call away from London to Portsmouth through various prophetic circumstances, I took the unusual step of asking my bishop, Pete Broadbent, Bishop of Willesden, to release me from when my training was near its end. This was a risky business, since I'd need to find a curacy myself. This is not a problem if you are happy to go up north, but finding the right curacy, under the right leader, in a church suitable for Isaac, with an appropriate support network around us, the right sort of house for our family, in the right part of the world, wasn't necessarily going to be easy. Having been released, I'd been in touch with Portsmouth Diocese in June 2018, but hadn't heard anything back, and September was almost over. Simultaneously, I'd also been turned down from a job elsewhere in the diocese. I'd been looking at other adverts in other areas, wondering if God really was calling us to Portsmouth, but hadn't seen much that was suitable there either. I'd even seen the advert for St. John's Locks Heath, but had dismissed it as part of Winchester Diocese and not a church for me. I knew my Burslem-based mother-in-law was in Winchester Diocese, so I assumed here Locks Heath was also in Winchester Diocese. And the advert that you presented definitely undersold you to me. Anyway, Katie was at our sending church in Harrow one Sunday evening. Someone, a teenager in the congregation actually, felt God had a prophetic word for Katie. This word sounded daft and pointless, but it was anchor and wave. That's it. When Katie told me about this, I was less than impressed. The words seemed meaningless and clearly not from God. Katie, however, was more optimistic. And later, Katie saw a watch with an anchor and a wave emblem in a shop and bought it, as she, more wisely than me, was holding on to this prophetic word. Later, Katie drew what can only be described as a prophetic picture. She does this from time to time. And it depicted this watch with the back coming off of it and the numbers coming out. She told me as though she felt it represented time stopping for us, which was exactly how we felt. No reply from the bishop. Other options drying up, no job to go to in just a few months. Would I even get ordained? And around this time, the watch had stopped working. Cheap junk, I thought. Katie then started nagging me to wear this watch for encouragement. And although I didn't want to, I felt it was a way of acknowledging at least her support of me in what was proving a testing time. It was about this time that I learned that the job here at St. John's Locks Heath was, in fact, in Portsmouth Diocese. So I made inquiries and arranged to meet Gavin. This was hopeful and somewhat exciting, but by no means certain. I discovered there was more to St. John's than the ad depicted, liked the proximity to family and old friends, but was still unsure if it would be right for us or if Gavin would be keen on me. The day before I was due to meet Gavin for a chat for the first time, the watch started irritating me on my wrist, so I pocketed it instead. As I was walking, it worked its way out of my pocket and fell to the ground. The back came off, and it started ticking again. I was instantly moved to both tears and laughter. Suddenly, I knew that time was moving again and became certain of all that was to happen here the next day. Katie's picture had literally come true. God was speaking to us through it, it seemed. As if that wasn't enough, the following month, it was around Christmas, Katie also felt to share with me the word laurel as something to consider when we were on a retreat day together. This happened to be the day before we both came to meet the Fosters as a whole family. We secretly attended services here too. We later discovered we were to live at Laurel Road, and Katie even found a kneeler here in church with a laurel wreath and an anchor on it. God knew the plans he had for us, and he was showing us that he had it under control, and he was showing us where he was calling us to. So I'm telling you this story because it's clear, I think, from the story that God used prophetic circumstances, used Katie's picture and this watch, and somebody giving a word in a service, a prophetic kind of word, to encourage us and to call us here. And we see that echoed, we see that in the passage this morning. Nathaniel starts out rather sceptical, a bit like I was. Philip comes to him and says, "Look, we found this amazing guy, this Jesus. You know, he's a real deal. He's a, you know, come see." And Nathaniel's like, "Meh, what good can come of Nazareth? I'm not interested. This is just hooey, isn't it?" Okay, that was kind of my attitude. But Philip says to him, "Come and see," and Nathaniel comes to see. And Jesus is able to call him from that very kind of "I'm not interested" attitude into an attitude of "Yes, I'm going to follow you. Yes, you are the Son of God." The turnaround is dramatic. So how does Jesus achieve this? Well, he does it by trusting in the Spirit to see something supernatural that he couldn't have known without the Spirit's help. So he says to Nathaniel, "You know, I saw you sitting under the fig tree." It's not that Jesus had kind of Superman X-ray vision that was long distance and he could see Nathaniel like sitting under the fig tree physically. It was that he sensed by the Spirit that Nathaniel had been sitting under a fig tree earlier. And so in sharing this thing, which seems fairly innocuous, it means that Nathaniel is able to realize that God is with Jesus, and that he's speaking through him and speaking to Nathanael and calling him, and it encourages him and completely transforms the way in which he sees Jesus, and he calls him the Son of God. And I really want to say that I think the prophetic, that kind of supernatural hearing of what God has to say for us, is a really, really important part of our shared life together, and a really crucial way in which we can communicate the love of God to one another for us as individuals, really personally. And it's something that we should try to become accustomed to and used to doing on a regular basis. Just yesterday, I was out with a number of people here at the Alpha Day Away. It's a day during the Alpha course, which is a chance to explore the Christian faith and ask lots of questions. If you've not done one, by the way, we'll be doing another one shortly when this one's finished. So really good thing to be on. But it tends to be like a weekly course with a video and a chat and some food. But there's at one point during the course, there is a day away, a Saturday, where we go away. We went to Hill Park Baptist Church, and we have some time to watch a number of videos, to worship together, and to think about the Holy Spirit and what his role in the life of the Trinity is, and kind of who he is and what he does for us. And as part of that, then we also pray for one another, and we listen to what the Holy Spirit, to what God might be saying to us for the other people, and then share that with them. And this can be a deeply significant moment for the people who come, because what happens regularly at these things is that all of the stuff that people have been learning through the videos each week, it kind of sits around up in your head. It's all stuff that's important and it's stuff to know, but it tends to be, you know, is there a God? What's the evidence? You know, what's the Bible about? Can we pray? How do we pray? And it can be processed very much in your mind without any kind of real relationship forming with God. And yet at this moment, we share something that's deeply personal, that God has spoken to that person. And we invite the Holy Spirit to come and touch their lives. And what often happens is they make that connection between a sort of intellectual idea of God to the reality of him breaking in into people's lives and saying something prophetic to them. And it's deeply significant for a lot of people that come on that day. And so I think that that's something that we should be doing regularly with one another, not just for the people who don't know who Jesus is, but for all of us who do, to encourage and enliven and grow our faith by speaking prophetically to one another the words that we believe Jesus might be saying. That's not that we're not going to get it right all the time. We're not always able to hear perfectly. We make mistakes. But I think it's something that we should explore and stretch and try and work towards. You know, Gavin, I've often heard it, Gavin, say that his kind of, you know, discipleship 101 lesson is, you know, if Jesus did it, then so should we. And I think that's a good lesson. And here in our gospel this morning, we see Jesus prophetically calling Daniel supernaturally. And so therefore, that's something we should also be considering to do. What is God saying to us about other people that we can share to encourage them and to reveal his glory to them? And you know, there's a sense in this passage in which the thing that Jesus is sharing with Nathanael is kind of small fry. He says to him, doesn't he, you know, look, you are amazed because I've said, you know, I saw you under a fig tree. You're going to see much more than this, Sonny. You know, you're going to see some incredible things. You're going to see heaven opened and angels coming down. So this little prophetic thing that probably seems quite scary for us, it's almost kind of kingdom small talk. Okay, it's stuff that should happen regularly within a family that is part of the kingdom of God. It's not even the major heaven opened and angels coming down. It's just a little thing. So yes, it's really scary, isn't it? The thought of saying to someone else, I think God might be saying this to you. That's a really scary thing to do. And there is a tendency in us to probably say, I don't think I could do that because I'm not good enough somehow. You know, I need to be humble about this. I'm not a spiritual heavyweight. I can't do that. And yet, if you really think about it, that's not a humble attitude. A humble attitude is to recognize that, yes, you cannot do it, because it isn't about you or I. It's about him. It's about what he says to us. So it's not within our ability to do it. And so actually, by by saying, no, I can't do this, then what you're saying is, yeah, but God, you can do this. And it's trusting in him to do it, which I think is a much more humble position than being closed and saying, no, it won't. God won't do that through me. So I want to encourage us to step out, to do this thing, to try and prophetically encourage one another, to listen to what God is saying to us for other people. But I want to give you some practical advice, because this can go very wrong. First of all, I'm sure we are all regularly praying for one another. At some point in our lives, we pray for our friends, and when we do so, I really want to encourage us, number one, to just listen. Because it's very easy to say, Lord, could you help so-and-so with this and that and the other? But, you know, if we believe that we have a relationship with our Father, then relationships are two-way. And actually, he desperately wants to speak to us and does speak to us. And he will speak to us for other people and for ourselves. So it's always good when we pray to listen. Now, I'm sure that's nothing new to any of you. But how do we listen? How do we hear what God might be saying to us? Well, I think we need to lean sometimes on our sort of random thoughts. It's very easy to think, well, God hasn't given me anything. But, you know, when I'm doing this, I tend to just say, okay, Lord, show me somebody or show me something. And then I just listen to wherever my mind is wandering. And sometimes that is helpful and sometimes that isn't. But I tend to keep my eyes open, mostly because then I'll take in things from the world around me that God might be using to speak to me. Other people may want to close their eyes and see what comes to mind. But I think trust in those random thoughts. Don't dismiss them as nothing. They might be nothing and they might flit and move on. But at least if something comes into your mind, then you can reflect that back to God and say, God, are you saying something through this thought in my head? Because they may be random thoughts to you, but they're definitely not random to God. The other thing I'd like to say as a sort of word of caution over this is that people can, because there's in a very deep way to sense that God is talking to us, it's easy to hurt other people. I don't want this to put us off, but I do want to encourage us to be encouraging. The purpose of this is to build one another up. And I think if we said something negative about somebody, then that could be very painful and very damaging. And I'm sure that is not something that God wishes for us. So I would say, if you do have a prophetic thought for somebody, you want to share something you think God is saying, try not to say something like, I think God's slightly annoyed at you because ... Okay? That would not be a good way of encouraging and building up someone. I heard it said once that it's helpful to visualize the person that you might be saying something to, and what you're trying to do is to call out the eternal part of them, the bit that is good. So you're looking inside somebody almost and saying, okay, what does God see in that person that is good and right? And affirm that and encourage that and say to them that God appreciates and loves that about them. Sometimes it might also just be something very random that you feel and that you hear that's neither encouraging or discouraging. And I often think God speaks in that way too. He says to you something like anchor and wave, which is completely innocuous to the person who's sharing it, but to the person who's receiving it, it might have some deep, significant meaning. Or it might come to mean something later. And so in doing so, he protects our relationships from one another. God doesn't sort of speak to us about all the sin in someone else's life, okay, in a way that kind of embarrasses them, or share something deeply personal that person wouldn't want to share themselves normally, okay? And then the other thing is just, I've heard the advice of no dates, mates, or fates, which is a good way of just remembering that, you know, don't tell somebody that on the 3rd of July they're going to get a new job. Or, you know, that girl over there that they quite fancy is not the right person, or is the right person for them to hook up with, okay, get married to, whatever. Okay, mates, not helpful. And then fates, you know, God says to me that you're going to live until you're 72 and then you're going to die of a heart attack. You know, that kind of stuff is probably not what God wants to share with one another, with you. Certainly not in my experience. And we do sometimes, don't we, see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament a little bit, some sense in which the prophets share something that's a kind of doom and gloom message or a difficult to hear message. So God does do that from time to time, but I would say that's the exception and not the rule. And I would say it's the thing for the seasoned prophets to take part in. The people who've been doing this stuff for years and years and years and really, really good and really know what they're doing. I certainly don't feel that I'm at that stage, that I could share something that's a bit more challenging or negative. So just to recap then, listen when you pray for other people. Trust your random thoughts, because they might actually be something. Reflect them back to God. Encourage always, never break down. And no dates, mates, or fates, please. I'm going to ask us to put this idea into practice this morning. So we're going to have a little time of quiet, just a pause. And in that time, I'd like you to close your eyes if you wish, keep them open, look around if you wish. But ask God to reveal somebody who's here this morning, probably, or maybe somebody who's not here, but probably somebody who's here, that he might want to say something to you this morning, that he might want to encourage for some reason. And when somebody's face pops into your mind, whoever that happens to be, just say, God, is it this person, yes or no? And what would you like to say to them? And then see where your mind goes. See what thoughts come to mind. See what you're thinking about. It might be that you think about a particular scripture. It might be that you think about something you've seen. You might notice something about that particular person's clothing or something they're wearing. Who knows? Okay. But ask, then reflect that back to God and just say, God, what are you saying? Is this what you want to say? And then during the piece, or maybe after the service, make a beeline for that person. And just humbly share it with them. Maybe just to say, I'm not sure, take it or leave it, but I think God might be saying this or that. And I really hope that that is a moment that will encourage that person. And it might be that it's deeply moving for them. It might lead to an opportunity for you to pray with that or for that person. But I want to encourage us to step out with this. It is a scary thing to do. Very scary, actually. And that fear doesn't go away particularly the more you do it. But I want to encourage us to step out, to have faith and to walk on water, and just to remember that it's not us. We can't do it. It's all about him. And he is the one who wants to bless us, and he wants to speak to us. So let's be a conduit to hear God, to hear from God through each other this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would help us this morning, that you would speak to us, that you would send your spirit to us, that as we pause, as we wait on you, that you would show us who it is that you want us to encourage, and Lord, what it is that you want us to encourage them with, and that we could be moved this morning by your words specific to us.